Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Chris Loffrey. Lori Walsh is off today. This summer, 60 legislators and non-legislators have been appointed to serve on five legislative interim task forces that will focus on mental health issues here in South Dakota. Representative Tim Reed is from District 7, which is Brookings County, and he is the chair of the Increased Community Services and Caregiver Supports Task Force. Their first meeting is July the 19th. Tim Reed joins us today from the Janine Basinger Studio on the campus of South Dakota State University in Brookings. Mr. Reed, welcome to In the Moment.
Good morning, Chris.
The legislature has been looking at the lack of mental health services in South Dakota for quite some time, Mr. Reed. And if we could begin by giving listeners the history of how we got to these five task forces.
Sure. Last year during the interim, there was a very large committee. This one was made up of all legislators that studied the access to mental health care services. We met, I think, five different times, which is a lot of times for these interim committees. We spent time in Yankton and Sioux Falls, and of course, we had meetings also in Pierre. And then folks from Rapid City came out to Pierre to discuss their issues. So we took in the whole state to talk about where there were issues with the mental health care services that's needed in South Dakota. And it was really, although I think we went in thinking that we would be able to come out with some solutions, maybe some legislation, we really, just because of the amount of information, what we were learning, it really became more about information gathering than really finding the solutions at that time for anything to be acted upon. The only thing we did get that we did put forward for legislation was having the 211 service, which can be very helpful for access to finding where you can get mental health care services, and then also the suicide prevention line that's part of that. There was legislation for that did get passed during the last legislative session.
I'm going to redirect my next thought because of what you just said. Explain 211 to our listeners.
Well, the 211 service is a lot like 911 service, except it's not for a physical emergency right then. It's more for finding out where there are resources that you can access. 211 has been available in a lot of the larger metropolitan areas, including Brookings. And one of the services that is part of that is if you feel you do need some mental health care, where do you go? What kind of services are available? So you can call in, ask, you know, what's available to help me or a loved one, and they'll give you the resources and hook you up or, you know, get you to somebody that can provide some help. So that was funded some too, and so hopefully that funding will help get the 211 service available all across South Dakota.
These two services you speak of, both 211 and the Suicide Prevention Hotline, are they 24/7, 365 for people in need?
Yes, they are. And they're actually staffed out of a central location. And so they work with the areas, even though if you're calling from Brookings, specific Brookings programs and services will be told to you. So even though it's based out of one area or, you know, one facility, they work with all the counties to make sure that it's specific to the location that the caller is calling from.
What kind of support do you feel you had from Governor Noem for the ongoing work of this mental health task force as soon as she took office?
Well, she was supportive of the 911 bill. She did sign that, and she has talked about it quite a bit during her State of the State addresses and other times how important mental health care services are. So we had support from her with that. The resolution that created the five different task forces was actually a concurrent resolution. And so that was really just legislative business. The governor didn't have to sign or approve of the resolution that created these committees. It's all done within the legislative branch.
I feel like the number could be bigger, but why do we need five task forces working simultaneously?
There were just several areas that really needed specific look at. And, you know, example, one of them that's one of the task forces is the whole idea of acute mental health care. That's really where it gets expensive is when it's an acute issue. And a lot of times acute issues end up going down to the human service centers down in Yankton, and that's very, very expensive. Plus, it removes the person from their community when they have to go down to that facility. So one of the committees one of the task forces is going to look at, you know, redefining what acute mental health hospitalization is And then is it something that has to be dealt with in Yankton, or can we put those services in other communities across the state so people don't have to travel as far? And, you know, is there some short-term measures that can be done, or intermediate, or even then you still have the long-term? What can we do in these communities? A lot of times someone will have a mental health care crisis, and mostly when you're in the more rural parts of the state, they don't know quite what to do with the person because they don't have facilities or they don't have the care right there. And so the sheriff, because usually they're put on a hold and they're actually transferred down to the human service center. And that's quite a distance to travel. A lot of times those folks will only be there for a day or two because what they need isn't necessarily acute treatment. They need some treatment, but it's not acute. And so there's a lot of money that's spent there. Plus it takes people out of their communities. And then the whole idea of just reducing the overall use of acute mental health care. One of the things that we were talking about that I brought up as an idea in the previous interim session is there some sort of day treatment that can be done to help out those folks so they don't necessarily have to be away from their family for the whole day. And plus that can help caregivers too that are helping somebody that has some mental health care issues. During the day, they know that they're in a safe place. And then something else that, you know, it's talked about quite a bit in South Dakota because we're rural is telemedicine. Mm. And there's also a group that's exploring, a task force that's exploring how can telemedicine be used. There's a pilot right now that's getting started in Brookings County that the sheriff's going to use where they'll have the equipment and they're able to access, if they're someplace more in a rural area and they need to access help to find out, is this person that we're dealing with right now really in an acute stage and they need to be actually brought in and put into the jail, which is not a good situation, but at times for their safety, that's what you have to do. Or can it be treated in a different way? And so telemedicine is also something that's being explored. And then another area that I think will help with creating, you know, you'll hear quite a few stories that the Human Service Center, there's a long wait list at times to get in. Well, the Human Service Center also treats, and for long-term, folks that are in, like, skilled care facilities that have an ongoing organic brain issue. And so those can be difficult patients to handle, but yet they're still, you know, they could be somebody from Rapid City that, you know, their family's in Rapid City, and this elderly person is in the Human Service Center. Is there a way that we can move those folks and get the resources in homes that are closer to, you know, where their family's at to take care of them? And that then would also help alleviate or create some more capacity at the human Service Center. So those are the four other task forces that have been created besides the one that I'll be chairing.
If you're just joining us, our guest on In the Moment is South Dakota Representative Tim Reed from District 7, which is Brookings County. Tell us about the task force that you're chairing, please.
Well, the task force that I'm chairing is about increasing capacity for transitional housing and residential services in communities. What you don't want to have happen if you have someone that has been treated, and maybe they have been down the Human Services Center, there's a transition coming back in, and they still need a lot of health care. And so they need to go someplace that's safe and healthy. And by healthy, I mean it's not a place where, you know, there could be drug issues that they've been dealing with. And here you go back and you end up, you know, living on the couch of the people that you weren't necessarily a good influence. So it's a whole idea of making sure that there's transitional housing available to help those folks, because you don't want them to end up going back to the Human Service Center. You want them to recover and become healthy. And then there's also times where you need very long-term support or long-term residential services for folks that have mental health care issues that, you know, are going to last throughout their lifetime. And so we saw that there was a lack of that issues of those kind of places also when we had our interim session last year. So the kind of things that we're specifically going to be looking at is what type of housing is needed. And, of course, affordability is very important. These folks may you know, be on Social Security or Medicaid. What will be supported there? And something else that is just kind of as we're starting initial discussions, I've been asking members of the task force, you know, what kind of things would they like to study? And a good point was brought up that a lot of these mental health care issues start, I think it's three quarters is the number that that was presented. 3/4 of the people that have mental health issues, they started before the age of 24. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at this, we have to look at, you know, that there are young, more younger people that have these issues. Sometimes at points where they've gotten, you know, basically their parents have said you're out of the house because of the issue. So what are we going to do about that? And then also, is there some in-home services that can help? So if there is probably a younger person that has had mental health care issues and they've returned back to their home, what kind of in-home services that could help the caregiver is something else that I think that we'll be looking at. And, of course, once we step in and start having hearings about this, then hopefully we'll find out even more information. There might be some other areas that we have to take a look at.
Do you feel good about creative solutions to these problems, or do you anticipate a lack of future funding to create challenges for South Dakota?
Funding is always going to be a challenge, mm-hmm. you know, and the whole idea behind this, too, is that those acute services are so expensive. And if we can figure out ways of not having patients get down to that acute level, there'll be more money to spend at the level of recovering and even also at the level of where you're just informing people and teaching them about it or doing preventive kind of things. So, yes, you know, funding is going to be an issue, but if we have people going into the acute areas and people that keep continuing to come back into needs of an acute health care needs, then we're going to continue just to be in the circle where we're going to be spending more and more money, and we're not going to be able to actually work on the prevention end of it or make sure that there's good housing. So there's possibilities of ways of making sure that the funds will be available.
Before I run out of time, I just have a thought here, and I'd like you to let people know where they can follow the work of these committees and provide input. And what kind of input from South Dakotans do you think is helpful?
Oh, I think personal stories. Mm-hmm. As I got involved with more mental health care issues, I've had several families and people reach out. I've worked with a couple gentlemen here in Brookings, and they came to our initial meetings last summer and said, don't forget about the caregivers. And that's something else that you'll see that's a part of my task force is caregiver supports. And they're very important. If you don't have somebody back home that's going to make sure you're getting to your appointments, make sure you're taking meds if there's some medicines that you need to be on, or even there just to make sure that they're not lonely, we're still going to have this problem with recidivism. So we have to make sure that caregivers don't get burned out and they have everything they need to help their loved one recover from mental health services. So my point to that is good for anybody that's had the issues with dealing with somebody with mental health care issues, you know, to come forward and give us their story and if they have any ideas on what can help out.
To my first point, we as citizens, can we follow along with the work of these committees?
You sure can. What you do is you go to, you know, you can Google the Legislative Research Council of the South Dakota Legislature, and that's, you know, referred to quite often as LRC. And when you get to that website, you will find along the top header where it'll have interim. And if you click on that, you'll see the menu, and you'll be able to drill down through all of the different interim topics and committees and task forces that are meeting and be able to follow along, be able to see their agendas, when they're meeting. The very front page will be to tell you when they're meeting. And then if you go deeper in, you'll be able to see who's on the committee. Maybe one of your local legislators is on the committee, and you can contact that person. Or, of course, through that, you'll be able to see myself as chair and be able to contact me about the issue. And so that's a really good way to follow and to participate in the meetings.
I have a couple more thoughts, and I hope to get them in. Do you feel a sense of urgency to address the lack of services quickly, or do you see this as something so complex that it just can't be rushed?
You know, you feel the urgency because you see the issues and when you hear from people. But your second part, you know, what you said about it being complex is very true. Like I said before, we were hoping last summer to have some solutions, and we found out it was so complex, there was so much information that needed to be gathered, that we were really just going to come up with the areas that needed some effort to be placed upon them. So now I feel that during these five task forces, that there'll be some good outcomes in the next legislative session.
In the remaining minutes we have, spend some time with us, Mr. Reed, and tell us why this issue is so important to you personally, on a personal level.
You know, on a personal level, it really started back when I was the mayor of Brookings, and listening to the stories and hearing about the lack of resources and the lack of understanding on mental health care issues. South Dakota State University a couple of years ago had their one read about mental illness, and that caused a discussion as mayor, I decided that those one reads for campus should be one reads for the whole community. And so we tried to organize a community task force on it. And I didn't realize the scope of the problem. I didn't understand that really mental health care wasn't being treated the same as medical issues. And so through all of that, it was really more and more just getting involved each step of the way. While I was mayor, we formed a mental health task force that combined the county, the school system, the city, our hospital, a few other entities together. And they worked through where our issues were in Brookings. And that report came out here about two weeks ago. And so through all that process, I really found myself getting more and more involved. And then sitting down, I work real closely with these two gentlemen that have their adult children and listen to the issues that they're dealing with as caregivers. And that also made me want to help them as much as possible.
South Dakota Representative Tim Reed is from District 7, which is Brookings County. He's the chair of the Increased Community Services and Caregiver Supports Task Force. Thank you so much for your time today, sir, and have a great summer.
Thank you.